ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome to all the stalwarts here and online who have decided to fix their attention on going back to Godhead, which is not an easy task given that there's a lot of distractions in this world and a lot of other ideas about the ultimate goal of life. But our acharyas especially and the scriptures give us the very clear goal, especially in our sampradaya. We have a very clear goal of going back to Goloka Vrindavan. To cultivate that desire, we need assistance from the scriptures and from the great acharyas. Because according to our desire, we're moving around in this world, and Krishna says that now that you've come to the human form of life, you're free to move about the universe. That's Yanti deva vrta devan, pritrin yanti pritir vrta, bhutani yanti puteja, yanti mam, yajino pimam. Go where you like. And it's up to your desire. What desire you cultivate will, that desire that you cultivate will determine your destination. So we're here to cultivate a desire to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. And that is the sum and substance of the process of bhakti, is to intensify that desire. Yadrishi, yadrishi, shraddha, siddhir, bhavati, tadrishi. As that desire intensifies, also called shraddha, the thing you have to have, that burden you're carrying around in your heart, that I have to have this thing, that will direct you in your life, because where attention goes, energy flows. And Krishna's there as the overseer and the permitter within the heart. Not only that, he's in Goloka Vrindavan, and when one's desire reaches a certain point of intensity, Krishna in Goloka begins to hear our prayers very clearly and distinctly. And therefore, the Shastra says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavato mati kriyatam yadi krito prilabhyate tatalolyam apimulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritirna labhyate. That the one price, only one price to pay for attaining bhakti, and that is one's intense desire to attain it, translated by our modern acharyas into greed. You have to have greed to get this bhakti. And that means excluding all other things and focusing one's attention on one goal. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam bhati shrotavya kirtitavyascha deya pujascha nityara. When one understands the goal and one develops a desire for the goal, then one's activities reflect that. And the Bhagavatam says, therefore, one should, with one-pointed attention, hear, chant, remember, who? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Fortunately, Krishna is a person, and he has a form, and he has qualities, and he has pastimes, which he very kindly displays in this world. Ananda chinmaya rasat mataya manasu ya praninam pratipalam smarutam upetya lilayatena bhuvanani yajatya jastram govindam adi purusham damam bhajami. And that gives us a place to hold on tight. Because according to this verse in the Sri Brahma Sanghita, Krishna's pastimes and form dominate the mundane universe. In other words, the mundane universe is just a reflection, and the form and quality pastimes of Krishna are the real substance. So we have actual place. We have an actual place to place our, to put our attention that is completely satisfying. And to that end, today we'll go through the Bhagavatam to get some impetus, some places where we can meditate on Krishna. And we're going to use the starting point, the point of departure from the very opening verse, the Mangalacharna verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is written by Rupa Goswami to illustrate the esoteric nature of the book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which, practically speaking, is a string of jewels from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate praman, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, Srimad Bhagavatam pramanam amalam. It's the spotless Purana. And therefore, we take full shelter of the Bhagavatam, as did the Goswamis, and the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu gives one verse after another from the Srimad Bhagavatam, also the Padma Purana and several other scriptures, to prove the points about bhakti and to inspire us to continue on the path of bhakti. So today, I'll read to you the first verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and from there, we'll go through the verses that Srila Rupa Goswami uses to illuminate this particular verse that he has chosen, that he has written for the Mangalacharna, for the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Akila rasamrita murti prasmimara ruchi rudatara kapali kalita shyama lalito radha prayan vidura jayati. May Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be glorified. By virtue of his ever-expanding attractive features, he has subjugated the gopis named Taraka and Pali and absorbed the minds of Shyama and Lalita. He is the dearmost lover of Srimati Radharani and the reservoir of pleasure in all devotional mellows. And now I'll read a purport that was given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in a Back to Godhead magazine, Volume 3, Part 17, April 15th, 1960. It is on the Veda base. Yeah. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Personality of Godhead in his eternal form, that's Back to Godhead, spelled out, comma, volume, V-O-L dot 3, if you're looking for it. Part 17, comma, April 15, 1960. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the Personality of Godhead in its eternal form, is glorified because he has endeared himself by his acts of benevolence in disseminating the different kinds of rasa or zests. Rasa is psychologically described as sense perception. But the sense perception which we experience in our material conception of life is a perverted reflection of the reality. The reality is approached by a realization of the all-inclusive personal form of the Supreme, who is the all-attractive Sri Krishna. The very name of Sri Krishna is suggestive of a conception of complete attraction by dint of wealth, strength, influence, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Is everyone able to concentrate, even though we're not able to concentrate because the images are moving on the screen. So if you can find it, bring it up. Otherwise, just put a beautiful picture of Krishna and we'll move on. Otherwise, we can always concentrate here until, is that possible? Let's just do that. Let's just listen to it. And it happens to come up on the screen. We'll take it as divine intervention. You can look up in about, I'll stop at the end of every paragraph, and then you can check in. Is that all right? Okay. The very name of Sri Krishna is suggestive of a conception of complete attraction by dint of wealth, strength, influence, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. The complete embodiment of all these opulences combined together in their fullness is exhibited by the manifested activities of the Lord when he is, out of his causeless mercy, within our view. Although the Supreme Person is transcendental to the speculative actions of thinking, feeling, and willing of a living being. The eternal consort... Okay, somebody tell me what we just said. That's the first paragraph. Just give me a few essential points. Yes. Manjula Kanta, and then...
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes.
My understanding from what you read is that... although we cannot understand Krishna, he is transcendental, and we think of him from our materialistic point of view, he gives us the opportunity to relish him by whenever he gives us the opportunity by being there in front of us, we're able to see in his physical, in his personal form, all the manifestation of his attractiveness, all the different facets of his attractiveness. It's visible to us, but it doesn't mean that we'll understand it, because we're
okay.
not able to.
Yes, very good. Krishna is actually always present, but because I lack appreciating capacity. My capacity to appreciate him is lacking, and therefore I don't see him. Therefore, we hear in the Brahma Samhita, premanjana chudita bhakti vilochinena. If one is imbued with love, one sees Krishna all the time. He sees Krishna everywhere. Krishna also goes out of his way. He makes his avatar. He appears in this world specifically to make an imprint on the minds of the living entities here in the material world. And he comes again and again. But he comes in his personal form as Krishna. And if one practices the system of bhakti yoga, one can develop this attraction for Krishna. It begins by the process of hearing. If one hears about Krishna regularly, repeatedly, consistently, then gradually one's appreciation for Krishna will begin to grow. And in the meantime, if one does service for the great souls, for the Mahatmas, then one will gain an affinity for hearing about Krishna. Second paragraph. The eternal consort of Srimati Radharani is Lord Sri Krishna, who is plenarily manifested as the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. He has innumerable beams of expansions, and every one of them is a complete vidhu, or the one who vanquishes all kinds of distresses of the devotees. Vidhu. What is it? Vidhu, yes. Say vidhu. One of Krishna's names. Even the asuras or the atheists who are the enemies of the Lord are benefited because of his causeless mercy, although superficially they appear to be slain by the Lord. Asuras who are killed by the Lord also attain to the platform of mukti, or liberation, which is the destination of the impersonalist empiric philosophers. As such, he is all attractive, both for the asuras, or non-devotees, materialistic living beings, and the suras, or the devotees. He is glorified evidently by suras and asuras alike. On the battlefield Kurukshetra, Lord Sri Krishna was glorified even by the opposite camp of Arjuna, when Bhishma addressed Lord Sri Krishna to be the relative of Arjuna, the victorious warrior. And those who died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained the highest stage of liberation simply by fixing their eyes upon him while dying on the battlefield. What other demons attained liberation? Name three that you remember. Shishupal. Putana, a special case. And? Trinavarta Agasura. Agasura is especially mentioned because they say he attained liberation. And it's mentioned in that section of Agasura that if somehow or other, even if by force, one brings the form of the Lord within one's mind, then one will attain liberation. So all these demons attain liberation just by remembering or seeing Krishna when they were dying or coming in contact with him. By his fullness of opulence on account of being the one without a second competitor, and as being the Lord of all creatures, he is worshipped even by the supreme directors of the cosmic creation. He is attractive even by his personal decorative features. Lord Sri Krishna is observed to be always decorated with multi-ornaments of apt position. His earrings, his crown, his bangles, his necklace, and his belt, etc., bedecked with the most valuable jewels, his attractive smiling face smeared with the pulp of sandalwood on the forehead, and his yellowish silken garments all combined together to make his full attractive personality. I think on Gaur Purnima, somebody decorated Madan Mohan's face with different colors tilak, and it was quite attractive, don't you think? I don't know who did that, but whoever did was... Huh? Sukeshri did that? Wonders never cease. And I was just thinking how deity worship is so important to approach the form of the Lord. In the morning when I do my pujas, then I get to put the earrings in for Dameshwar Mahaprabhu, because he has these little, his ears are pierced. So I have these different earrings. And I was just putting earrings in yesterday morning when I was doing that, dressing him. And I don't know, it was just something about putting earrings in the Supreme Personality of Godhead that's like kind of inexplicably nice. It just makes you feel happy for no reason, putting earrings on the Supreme Personality of God. And you can't do that if you have an impersonal conception of the Lord. Or the universal form of the Lord is, it's a little unwieldy, you can't do. But in bhakti, the Lord approaches us in this form that we can actually dress, put earrings, put a belt. You can go shopping for him and things like that, which is really nice. That also substitutes the shopping propensity. The whole Bhagavad Purana is practically a vivid description of his fullness of attraction. And in the beginning of the same, the Lord Sri Krishna is discriminated from all other plenary manifestations or incarnations with emphasis on his being the original form of Godhead and the personality of Godhead as he is. And considering all these features of his personal and transcendental qualities as described in all Vedic revealed scriptures, Lord Sri Krishna is undoubtedly the all-attractive eternal form of all rasas. So that's it. You only have to place your mind in one direction, and that is Krishna. And he's easy to remember and think of because, first of all, he's the undisputed champion. He's the source of all other incarnations. So you don't have to go anywhere else, think of anybody else. And he also has all attractive features that are enumerated in all the bhakti scriptures, like the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion. All the qualities of Krishna are mentioned. So you can constantly think of him and bring your mind back to the form of Krishna. You can worship the form of Krishna, and then you can repeat Krishna's names. And in this way, 24 hours a day, you can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you can kindle a fire in your heart to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, because there are descriptions of what Goloka Vrindavan is like. And this is the sum and substance of the advancement in the process of devotional service, is kindling that fire of desire within the heart so that one can turn into a blaze. And when that fire of desire to go to Goloka Vrindavan is blazing, then one begins to meditate very intensely on that goal. In the present context of his transcendental features, he is the predominating lord of the primary rasas called shanta, transcendental inaction. That's funny, transcendental inaction. What are you doing today? I'm in shanta, transcendental inaction. Dasya, transcendental servitorship. Sakya, transcendental fraternity. Vatsalya, transcendental parenthood. In his transcendental form, in relation with the denizens of Rajabhumi, he is the embodiment of spiritual bliss. That spiritual bliss is described in the Brahma Sutras also. For other rasas, which are secondary and individually connected with him, he is very properly described in the Bhagavatam in the arena of King Kamsa of Mathura. He is described there as follows. Mamalanam asani, as a thunderbolt for the wrestlers. Naranam Narabhara, for the ordinary man, he is the most perfect form of man. Srinam Smara Murtinam, for the women, he appeared to be personified Cupid, or the most desired of the opposite sex. Gopnan Swajana, for the cowherdsmen, he appeared to be the most beloved kinsman. Sutam Kitibujam Shastra, for the culprit-minded rulers, he appeared to be the most redundant governor. And Swapitro Shishu, for the parents, he appeared to be a small child. Mrityu Bhoja Pate, he appeared to be death personified before the king of Bhoja, Kamsa. Virata Avidusam, he identified himself with all the pervading universal self for the less intelligent persons. Tattvam param yoginam, he appeared to the mystics to be the absolute truth. Vrishinam paradeva, for the Vaishnavas, or to the descendants of Vrishni, he appeared to be the highest worshipable deity. And thus known to be the respective, and thus known to the respective knowers according to their respective power of knowing him. Then Lord Krishna entered the arena of King Kamsa, accompanied by his elder brother, Shri Baladev. So, as I mentioned earlier, the capacity of the devotee determines how one views Krishna. And the process of bhakti means to, by the association of the great souls, to increase one's appreciating capacity to understand the original personality of Godhead in Goloka Vrindavan. In the revealed scriptures, the rasas are described to be of 12 different sets. They are as follows: Raudra, anger; Adbhuta, wonderful; Shringara, conjugal; Hasya, comic; Vira, chivalrous; Daya, merciful; Dasya, servitorship; Sakya, fraternity; Bayanaka, ghastly; Vibhatsa, shocking; Shanta, neutral; Vatsalya, parental. Shringara and the Madhurya Ras are one and the same. These 12 rasas are standard rasas of Lord Sri Krishna, is evidently the embodiment of all these rasas. He is not only the enjoyer of the Madhurya Ras or the Shringara Ras with Srimati Radharani, but he is the enjoyer of the Vivatsa Ras when he kills asuras like Kamsa and Jarasandha. In the creation of the Lord, there is nothing more than the above-mentioned standard 12 rasas in the matter of dealing with one another. The activities of the living being are accelerated by one of the rasas, either in its original form or in a perverted form. But all the rasas are emanations from the transcendence. There is no existence of any sort of reciprocation of rasa if it is not emanated from the source. Everything that be has its original source of emanation from the Supreme Being, and that is a confirmation by the first sutra of the Vedanta Sutras, Janmadyasayataha. And Sri Krishna, being the original form of Godhead, is conclusively the reservoir fountainhead of all the rasas described above. And as such, the rasa in relation with him becomes absolute in nature, the Lord being the absolute truth. Any one of the above rasas is absolute in nature in relation of reciprocation with his service. The Lord, being the enjoyer of all the rasas, the reciprocator, is either directly or indirectly a constitutional servitor of the Lord, exchanging the different rasas. And therefore, the devotees who serve the Lord directly in the primary rasas of Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya are super servitors, or eternal servitors, than those who serve him in the secondary rasas of Raudra, Adbhuta, Hasya, etc., which are 7 in all. Actual position of the living being is to serve the Lord and nothing more. Actual position of the living being is to serve the Lord and nothing more. The living being cannot become the absolute master in any stage of his existence, namely materially or spiritually. Materially, he can falsely pose himself as the master, and being baffled in that attempt, such servitor desires to annihilate his existence by becoming one with the Lord. This desire of becoming one with the Lord is not within the jurisdiction of the Shanta Ras, and therefore except the 5 primary rasas, all other rasas are exhibited outside the spiritual realm. But his oneness is transcendentally realized in the primary 5 rasas, because in the absolute realm, although there is constant reciprocation of the primary rasas between the Lord and his eternal reciprocators or eternal servitors, qualitatively there is no difference between the Lord and the servitors. In the absolute realm, there is no difference between Radharani and Krishna, or between Yashoda and Krishna, and so on. Verse that confirms that from Brahma Samhita. Ananda chinmayarasa pratibhavita bistabirya eva nijarupataya kalabi goloke eva nifasatya kilatma bhuto govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami.
The reciprocators in the absolute realm and in the relative world are essentially and qualitatively one, and at the same time quantitatively there is a difference between them, namely the Lord and the servitors. The Lord is the immense source of supply of all the rasas, while the living entities are recipients only in their different capacities. In other words, the Lord is the whole, while the servitors are constitutional parts and parcels only. The parts and parcels have therefore limited potency to enjoy, and as such, the parts and parcels of the Lord cannot be actually said as enjoyer in the proper sense of the term. Such reciprocators of the rasa are therefore properly termed as the enjoyed or the servitor partaker of the enjoyment enjoyed by the Lord. Although the rasa of reciprocation is equally partaken both by the Lord and the servitors, the Lord is the predominator enjoyer, while the parts and parcels are predominated enjoyed. Real enjoyment of the living entity is realized in that way. Otherwise, he can simply merge himself with the Lord by annihilating his constitutional position as he is emanated from the Supreme. The constitutional position of the parts and parcels are predominantly existent in the absolute realm, whereas the secondary rasas are manifest in the relative world. When the Lord therefore desires to enjoy the secondary rasa with his servitors, such reciprocation is brought into existence in the relative world by the desire of the Lord. When these secondary rasas are actually dovetailed with the absolute person, the result is the same as that of the other primary rasas. Therefore, the vivatsa ras displayed between the Lord and Kamsa also terminated in the liberation of Kamsa on account of Sri Krishna as being the absolute person. Keep going. Therefore, the servitor living being, if at all he wants to relish any one of the above rasas, must reciprocate the same with Sri Krishna, who is the unlimited ocean or source of all rasas. One can derive any amount of rasa of a particular type from that resource simply by such reciprocation with Krishna. Gopal Tapa in the Upanishad directs, therefore, conclusively that Sri Krishna is the supreme fountainhead of all rasas, which is also confirmed by the Shruti or the Vedas. One should therefore always meditate upon Sri Krishna to derive a particular type of rasa according to one's choice and under proper direction of the spiritual master. Krishna appeared to Kamsa as death personified because Kamsa chose to kill Krishna from the beginning of his appearance. Similarly, the gopis wanted to have Krishna as their lover, and therefore Krishna reciprocated with them as the most fascinating lover, displayed by the Madhurya Ras of a transcendental paramour. The conclusion is that the personality of Godhead reciprocates with his servitors in the proportion and quality of service rendered unto him. Nobody is doing anything except this reciprocation of rasas between Sri Krishna and himself, and this one is reaping the desired result in the proportion and quality of service illusioned in contamination with the material energy. Did you find that fascinating? No one's doing anything else. We're always in relationship with Krishna. So nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. We have an eternal relationship with the Lord. And even when we're amidst the material energy, we're still in a relationship with the Lord because the external energy is also the Lord. But because of the mentality I've developed of aversion to the Lord, then my relationship becomes a little bit different. It's not so sweet. But by bhakti, we actually revive that sweet relationship with the personality of Godhead. And those who have a grip on this concept can therefore give their full attention, even amidst the other activities of life, to developing the full-blown attraction for Krishna through the process of bhakti offered to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Altogether possible to develop that as a single-minded goal in one's life, and Krishna will fulfill the desires. Manjula Kanta?
So Maharaj, what this is telling us is that everybody is interacting with Krishna, even if they don't believe in him. Because I may not believe in Krishna, for an atheist, I see him in death. So I see him anyway. I just don't accept
that's
him.
That's right. Everybody. And described by the personified Vedas, even the very simple living entities have a relationship with Krishna through annamoy. They're eating food and they're getting some taste from that. And they're like, yum, 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 that's pretty good. That's Krishna. That taste comes from Krishna. Punya ganda prativyam ja. Krishna says, I'm the flavor of the earth that comes out in all the vegetables and food and things like that. So it's only Krishna, but there's different aspects of Krishna. And following Rupa Goswami, we can increase our appreciating capacity to the point where we can actually develop the higher rasas. Whereas such service is transcendental in the absolute realm, where illusion is conspicuous by its absence only. The quality of service to Sri Krishna in the highest platform is exhibited by the gopis, and such service is eulogized in the Bhagavatam in the following words. What is the penance of the gopis? What is the penance the gopis performed that they are privileged to enjoy drinking the nectar of Lord Krishna's beauty, which is as much unfathomed as his other opulences are? With the gopis, therefore, the highest transcendental quality of rasa is reciprocated by the Lord, and out of them the specifically mentioned gopis of the name Taraka, Pali, Shyama, Lalita, and Srimati Radharani are significant. In the Puranas, the names of the gopis like Gopali, Palika, Dhanya, Vishaka, Dhanishta, Radha, Anuradha, Sumabha, Taraka, etc. are mentioned. And in the Dwaraka Mahatmya, the names of the gopis, Lalita, Shyamala, Saibya, Padma, Bhadra, along with Vishaka, are mentioned as the chief of the damsels of Rajabhumi. There is such mention of the names of the gopis in Skanda Purana Puranam also. Such gopis were attracted by the beautiful and attractive features of the form of Sri Krishna. They were not only attracted, but also they were actually under the control of the Lord as a paramour, the feeling of the lover and the beloved. Such transcendental feelings of the pure gopis are never to be compared with the erotic principles of the mundane world. In these transactions of the highest reciprocation of rasas, Srimati Radharani stands to be the supermost partaker. She is therefore actually the counterpart emblem of all the rasas which are reciprocated between Krishna and Radha in a specific manner, unknown even to Krishna, both being equally full and perfect. There is constantly an overflow of transcendental bliss, which is the purest form of competition of the Hladini energy, or the transcendental pleasure, giving element, potency, in the Lord, but displayed by Radharani. Getting all that? Yeah? Okay. Almost to the end. In the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana, such reciprocation of the highest transcendental mellows is affirmed by eulogizing the place named Radhakund, where Lord Krishna and Radharani exhibited their reciprocal fullness. Radhakunda is therefore as much dear to Sri Krishna as Srimati Radharani. In Dwarka, Rukmini is mentioned as the topmost queen of the Lord, and similarly in Vrindavan, Radharani is the topmost of the gopis. The posthumous functions of Vrindavan represent a greater degree of rasa reciprocation than Dwarka. As such, Radharani is more conspicuous than Rukmini. She is the all-attractive counterpart of the all-attractive Lord, and therefore she is the highest embodiment of the Hladini potency of the Lord. Voluntarily, the Lord bifurcated himself both as Radha and Krishna, and again joined together in the still more attractive form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Get that? Still more attractive form. There's nobody better than Lord Chaitanya. In other words, the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are eligible candidates for approaching the fountainhead of all rasas. Congratulations. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, the names of both Radha and Krishna are mentioned in the Rig Veda as Radha Madhava.
Men with a poor fund of knowledge and so-called adherents of the Vedas indulge in pragmatic discussions concerning Radha and Krishna without consulting the authoritative statements of the Goswamis, headed by Sri Rupa Goswami and followed by Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Sri Narottam Das Thakur therefore recommends to the serious students of Rasa science to surrender under the protection of the merciful Goswamis, who left all material association of aristocracy and comfort and voluntarily accepted the part of a rigid mendicant to bestow upon the fallen souls like us their highest gift of benediction in the matter of love affairs of Radha and Krishna. The transcendental science of the love affairs of Radha Krishna is not a thing easily understandable even by the highest talented persons and materialistic opportunists. Those who therefore try to realize the affairs of Radha and Krishna in the puffed-up manner of materialistic scholarship will be vanquished in the womb of oblivion if they are reluctant to consult the books left by the Goswamis. So that's from a Back to Godhead magazine article that Prabhupada was distributing in 1960. Yeah, it's written by Prabhupada. And, well, characteristically unparalleled in being comprehensive, and the language is poetical and beautiful, just completely empowered in all ways to reveal the science. But we find these gems everywhere. And now, because we're running out of time, unfortunately, I want to go into a few of the basic points that lead us into the Bhagavatam today. From this first verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which, again, just to repeat, says, "May Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be glorified by virtue of his ever-expanding attractive features. He has subjugated the gopis named Taraka and Pali and absorbed the minds of Shyama and Lalita. He is the dearmost lover of Srimati Radharani and the reservoir of pleasure in all devotional mellows." In 1973, I was distributing books in San Francisco at Market and Powell, and we happened to have the Reservoir of Pleasure booklet. Do we have any of those now? You've seen them? And I approached a young couple who were holding hands, and I was showing people. I said, "Would you like a Reservoir of Pleasure?" Because I thought that was an interesting way to show people a book. And the guy looked at me, and then he looked at the girl and said, "I already have my Reservoir of Pleasure." And I thought, there you have it. It's all-pervading that people want that Reservoir of Pleasure. Of course, his was misplaced, and I don't know if they're still together today. But if they are, there's a different kind of a feeling he might have and a different kind of relationship they have. So it's important to understand this science of rasa, and to go deeply within it, because our destination is to develop that relationship with Krishna, who is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the reservoir of pleasure. He is the form. His form, his murti, is that from which all the relationships, everything that we're looking for, is available. Now, Rupa Goswami, in his writes this in his Mangalacharna, Rasamrita Sindhu, and then the acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami help to break it down and bring us to various conclusions. Also, Rupa Goswami giving evidence from the Bhagavatam shows how Krishna is the reservoir of all rasa, and I'm going to read a few of those verses. First, mentioning Krishna's form, that his form destroys all suffering. We have the Bhagavatam 1.9.39, or rather I should say that Rupa Goswami quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam to prove this point, that Krishna alleviates all suffering. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.39, we're right in the midst of Bhishma Dev's passing away.
And he's remembering Krishna very intensely at the time of death. Of course, he can leave his body whenever he wants, but he wants to enter into trance, looking at Krishna's form and remembering Krishna. And these verses are very powerful. So the first verse, he's remembering his relationship with Krishna on the battlefield. And on number 39, Vijayarata Kutumba Atatotre. Dhritahoya Rashmini Touch Sri Yekshaniye. Bhagavati Ratir Astu Me Mumurshor. Yam Iha Niriksha Hatagata Swarupam. He says, at the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who is very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. So, in this verse, Prabhupada mentions, first of all, how much Bhishma Dev is relishing that he was able to see the full form of Krishna on the battlefield. Even Arjuna was not so fortunate because Krishna was standing behind. Arjuna was standing behind Krishna because Krishna was driving the chariot. He couldn't see all these features, but Bhishma Dev, who was fighting Krishna, and even Krishna rushed towards him. There, he was able to see and remember all these different features of Krishna, even as he was being pelted with arrows. And then particularly mentioned in this verse is how everybody on the battlefield of Kurukshetra who died seeing the form of Krishna attained some liberation. And so just by coming in contact with the form of Krishna, one is liberated. Something from the purport. A pure devotee of the Lord constantly sees the presence of the Lord within himself because of being transcendentally related by loving service. Such a pure devotee cannot forget the Lord for a moment. This is called trance. The mystic yogi tries to concentrate upon the supersoul by controlling the senses from all other engagements, and thus he ultimately attains samadhi. A devotee more easily attains samadhi or trance by constantly remembering the Lord's personal feature along with his holy name, fame, pastimes, etc. Therefore, the concentration of the mystic yogi and that of the devotee are not on the same level. The concentration of the mystic is mechanical, whereas that of the pure devotee is natural in pure love and spontaneous affection. Bhishma Dev was a pure devotee, and as a military marshal, he constantly remembered the battlefield feature of the Lord as Partasarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. Therefore, the Lord's pastime as Partasarathi is also eternal. The pastimes of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the prison house of Kamsa up to the Mashala Lila at the end, all move one after another in all the universes, just as the clock hand moves from one point to another. And in such pastimes, his associates, like the Pandavas and Bhishma, are constant eternal companions. So Bhishma Dev never forgot the beautiful feature of the Lord as Partasarathi, which even Arjuna could not see. Arjuna was behind the beautiful Partasarathi, while Bhishma Dev was just in front of the Lord. As far as the military feature of the Lord is concerned, Bhishma Dev observed this with more relish than Arjuna. All the soldiers and persons on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original spiritual form, like the Lord, after their death, because by the causeless mercy of the Lord, they were able to see him face to face on that occasion. The conditioned souls rotating in the evolutionary cycle from the aquatics up to the form of Brahma are all in the form of Maya, or the form obtained by one's own actions and awarded by material nature. The material forms of the conditioned souls are all foreign dresses, and when the conditioned soul becomes liberated from the clutches of material energy,
he attains his original form. The impersonalist wants to attain the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord, but that is not at all congenial to the living sparks, part and parcel of the Lord, parts and parcels of the Lord. Therefore, the impersonalists again fall down and get material forms, which are all false to the spirit soul. A spiritual form, like the Lord's, either two-handed or four-handed, is attained by the devotees of the Lord, either in the Vaikunthas or in the Goloka planet, according to the original nature of the soul. This form, which is 100% spiritual, is the sarup of the living being, and all the living beings who participated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra on both sides attained their sarup, as confirmed by Bhishmadev. So Lord Sri Krishna was not merciful only to the Pandavas. He was also merciful to other parties because all of them attained the same result. Bhishmadev wanted the same facility also, and that was his prayer to the Lord, although his position as an associate of the Lord is assured in all circumstances. The conclusion is that whoever dies looking on the personality of Godhead within or without attains his swarup, which is the highest perfection of life. Conclusion is that we must constantly remember the form of the Lord and chant his names 24 hours a day. This is the process of devotional service. We have the capability of developing this habit, the habit of thinking of anything 24 hours a day. And bhakti means to transfer that thinking power to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One, by hearing, and you can adjust your hearing in your life because you have some control over your environment. And if you do that, then the sound vibration itself will begin to carry you in a certain direction. Is it temperature? Okay, we'll take a couple of comments before I move on to the next verse. Yes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for this nectarian class. Actually, it's amazing that you chose this topic because when I was reading the Brahma Samhita today in the morning, a part struck me in the verse which says, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. So normally I used to always concentrate on the fact that the devotees, you know, have sav of love and things like that. But there's a line also there which talks about Achinta Guna Swarupam. So that part stuck me today and I was just thinking that what would Krishna's resume look like with so many good qualities in him? And then
What was that? What was his resume
look like? You know, he has so many good qualities there. Yeah, right. Achinta Guna Swarupam.
It just keeps going on and on. That interview would last forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I was also observing to Manu Mataji yesterday that Krishna is so attractive. And then just a few days ago, I realized that devotees have a very tough time leaving on Sunday and going back. Like they try to go at least six times and to get into the car. And then just struck me that, you know, it is Krishna who's attracting and nothing else, you know. You forget your purse. I mean, you do things that you normally don't do in your real life.
Okay, so the first point that Rupa Goswami is making about the form of the Lord is it destroys all suffering. And that's profound. Just being around the form of the Lord, seeing the form of the Lord, even demons become free from all suffering. They're liberated. We've been suffering forever. And to be liberated is not an ordinary thing, but just by seeing the form of Krishna, one becomes liberated. So one should meditate on the form of Krishna. No one else and nowhere else. Feel free to fix your mind on Krishna. Okay, next thing is that Krishna surpasses all others. He makes this point, that Krishna surpasses all others. So this comes 3.2.21. And in this verse, which is very tasty section of the Bhagavatam and what isn't, we have the remembrance of Lord Krishna in a discussion that's going on between Uddhava and Vidura. And Uddhava is remembering Krishna. And the verse says, Swayam Twasam Ya Tishayas Tradishaha Swarajya Lakshmyapta Samastakama Balim Haradbish Chiraloka Palai Kiratako yedita padapita. Would you like to all say it together? Soyam dvayasam tadisha swaraja lakshmyapta samasta kama balim haradish chiraloka palai kiratya kodyeti tapada pita. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes, and he is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. So again, the form of Krishna is unsurpassed in all the three worlds. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna is so mild and merciful, as described in the above verses, and yet he is the Lord of all kinds of threes. He is the supreme Lord of the three worlds. Try to remember all these. Otherwise, we'll have to call Vamshuli. The three qualities of the material nature and the three Purushas, Karna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, and Shir Dakshai Vishnu. There are innumerable universes, and in each and every universe, there are different manifestations of Brahma, Vishnu, and Rudra. Besides that, there is the Shesha Murti, who bears all the universes on his hoods. And Lord Krishna is the Lord of all of them. As the incarnation of Manu, he is the original source of all the Manus in innumerable universes. Each universe has manifestations of 504,000 Manus. He is the Lord of the three principal potencies, namely Chit Shakti, Maya Shakti, and Tatashta Shakti, and he is the complete master of six kinds of fortune: wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. There is none who can excel him in any matter of enjoyment, and certainly there is no one greater than him, no one equal to or greater than him. It is the duty of everyone, whoever and wherever one may be, to surrender completely unto him. It is not wonderful, therefore, that all the transcendental controllers surrender to him and make all offerings of worship. So there you have it. There's nobody higher. Not Bernie Trump. That's pretty funny. That about sums it up. Any of the people are looking to find somebody, you know, good, some quality somewhere, and cricket player or a politician or something like that. And then there are all kinds of demigods. When I was distributing books one day in front of the Walmart, some guy very intense. He said, I already have my form of worship. And he pulled out of his wallet a picture of Shani, worship Shani. But Krishna's the ruler of Shani. He's the ruler of all the living entities in the world. So if all of them are worshiping Krishna, why shouldn't we? This message is also there in the Karabhajana Muni's verses about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which Dhyayam Sada Paribhavagnam Abhishta Doham Tirtaspadam Shiva Varinchi Nutam Sharanyam Shiva Varinchi Nutam Sharanyam. The Brahma Shiva takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why not you? So he's the Lord of the threes. Any configuration of threes you can find anywhere in the universe, Krishna's controlling that. The three modes of material nature, the three worlds, the Purusha avatars, they're all controlled by Krishna. So just remember Krishna. Just fix your mind on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. And when people say, what do? Just say, I'm a devotee of Lord Krishna. That's what Krita Karma used to say. What are you guys? And he goes, we're devotees of Lord Krishna. I thought, yeah, I'm with this guy. We're devotees of Lord Krishna. And here's good reason to be. I mean, there's nobody better than Krishna. So just be a devotee of Krishna. What are you? What do you guys do? What's this thing you're doing? Well, we're devotees of Lord Krishna. Because he's the best. There's nobody better than Krishna. Okay. Next is, he bestows the greatest happiness. Everyone's looking for happiness everywhere. And there's all kinds of songs about how people are striking out. There's one in the 70s or 80s, looking for love in all the wrong places. And, I mean, you could just line them up. There's one song after another about
people who have loved and lost, and it just faded away, and, you know, it's a grave disappointment to invest the emotion of love into some inferior creature and then lose it all, isn't it? Otherwise, why do poets and songwriters write so much about what an agony it is? They sing the blues. Okay, here it is, evidence for how Krishna brings the highest happiness, bestows the greatest happiness. 924.65, we're starting with Yasyananam Makara Kundala Charu Karna. Oh, he's not there yet. Brajat Kapola Sabagam Savila Sahasam. Nityotsavam na tatripur drishibi pipantyo.
Nityotsavam na tatripur drishibi pipantyo.
Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha.
Naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha.
Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see, but the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. Purport. As stated by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manusharam sahasreshu kashid yatiti siddhaye Yatatam api siddhanam kashim mambeti tatfataha. Temperature's better now. Feels a little more like Bhadrika Ashram. Out of the many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Among the Bhojas, Rishnis, Antakas, Pandavas, and many other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan is especially to be noted. That relationship is described in this verse by the words, Niyotsavam na tatripur drishibi bipantya. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially such as the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, the gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied, although they saw Krishna's beautiful features constantly. Seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Vrindavan saw Krishna almost every moment, but when Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought Krishna's lotus feet, which they dared not place on their breasts because they thought their breasts not soft enough, were being pierced by broken chips of stone. By thinking of this, the gopis were affected and they cried at home. These gopis, who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna, saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyelids disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the Creator, Lord Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. At the end of the ninth canto, in the 24th chapter, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered Krishna's head. The entire Srimad Bhagavat Purana, it's the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint of how beautiful his face is. Krishna's smiling face with his cheeks, his lips, the ornaments in his ears, his chewing of betel nuts. All this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss, but instead condemned the Creator of the body for making, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the Creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Yashoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. Given as some evidence,
by Srila Rupa Goswami for how Krishna bestows the highest happiness. So just seeing Krishna is all-absorbing and invokes the highest kind of happiness. And here's more evidence from 10th canto, 29th chapter, 40th verse. Ka sranga te kalapadavata venugita. Samohitarya charitan nachalet trilokyam. Trilokya saubhagam idam chanariksha rupam. Yad godvija durma mriga palakanya bibran. Dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all the three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptom of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. That is from the 10th canto. And then we have, again, bestows the highest happiness from Srimad Bhagavatam 3-12. I'm sorry? 10? What? Oh, I see. I have to be a little inventive here. Yanmartya lilao paikam swayoga maya balam darshayata grihitam vismapanam swasya chasau bhakarte param padam bhushana bhushananam. This is another famous verse quoted by Rupa Goswami. Again, we're talking about how Krishna bestows the highest happiness, so if there's any doubt, it'll be removed after hearing these verses. Because we vote with our feet wherever I think I'm going to get the highest happiness, because the nature of the soul is to seek happiness. These verses will confirm that you'll be happy only by thinking of Krishna, meditating on Krishna. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus his, Sri Krishna's, transcendental body is the ornament of ornaments. Any initial reactions before I read the purport? Okay. Shantaras. In conformity with the Vedic hymns, Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, the personality of God, it is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities. No one can surpass him or be equal to him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, he seemed to be a human being because he appeared in a manner just suitable for his pastimes in the mortal world. He did not appear in human society in his Vaikuntha feature with four hands, because that would not have been suitable for his pastimes. But in spite of his appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to him in any respect in any of the six different opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of his opulence in this world, but when Lord Krishna was in human society, he excelled all his contemporaries within the universe. When the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, they are called prakat. And when they are not visible, they are called aprakat. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its right orbit in the sky, but it is sometimes visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another. And when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwarka, it was simply a disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that his transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to his different expansions in the Vaikuntha Lokas. His body manifested in the material world is transcendental par excellence in the sense that his pastimes in the mortal world excel his mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha Lokas. In the Vaikuntha Lokas, the Lord is merciful toward the liberated or nityamukta living entities, but in his pastimes in the mortal world, he is merciful even to the fallen souls who are nityabaddha or conditioned forever. This, the six excellent opulences which he displayed in the mortal world by the agency of his internal potency, Yogamaya, are rare even in the Vaikuntha Lokas. All his pastimes are manifested not by the material energy, but by his spiritual energy. The excellence of his Rasa Lila at Vrindavan and his household of life with 16,000 wives is wonderful even for Narayan and Vaikuntha, and is certainly so for other living entities within this mortal world. His pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Rama, Narsingha, and Varaha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is not different from Lord Krishna himself. Story, I believe, Ujjwala Nilamani, where the Vasudev sees his reflection in the pillar and becomes so attracted. Krishna attracts even himself. Mahavishnu arranged that Ugrasena was not able to protect the Brahmins' newborn babies one after another. Arjuna vowed, "I will protect them," was not able to do so. But he said, "If I'm not able to, because I'm the great Arjuna, that I will enter into fire and kill myself." And he wasn't able to do it. So rather than have his devotee enter into fire, Lord Krishna came and protected him by taking him on his chariot through the universe, out through the outer covering of the universe and into the place where Mahavishnu stays, in the causal ocean. There, Krishna interacted with Mahavishnu, who said, "I made this ruse of taking away all these children so that you would come here because I wanted to see you." Because even Mahavishnu, who is Krishna himself, but an expansion of Krishna, is attracted to Krishna. And therefore, he had to arrange a way in which Krishna would come and see him. So Rupa Goswami is giving this evidence one after another that Krishna is the source of all happiness. Krishna destroys all suffering. He surpasses all others. He bestows the greatest happiness. And finally, he's the source of all others. Not finally, penultimately. He's the source of all others at 1:3:38. Who knows what this is? Ete cham shakala pungsa Krishnastu bhagavan swayam Indrari vyakulam lokam Mridiyanti yuge yuge. All of the above mentioned incarnations. Oh, sorry, 1:3:28. All of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets. Whenever there is a disturbance created by the atheists, the Lord incarnates to protect theists. So here, this all-important verse, which is brought out by the Goswamis to show that Krishna is the original source of all other incarnations. And finally, 1090:48. In the category of he exists eternally with all excellences. Please let's welcome all the stalwart devotees who have joined us online. Please turn towards one of the cameras and say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Here we are from the studio audience here at ISV. We welcome the greater audience online. Okay, so this verse is a verse that's mentioned in our Padati, Archana Padati, that is one of the verses one should recite upon rising in the morning. As soon as you wake up in the morning, you can say this verse and remember its meanings to fix your mind on Krishna, because it may not be so easy right when you wake up. Jayati jana nivaso devaki janmavado. Yadovara parishat swara dhorbhir asyanna dharmam. Stirachara vijinana susmita shri mukena. Rajapura vanitanam vardayan kama devam. Lord Sri Krishna is he who is known as Jananivasa, the ultimate resort of all living entities, and who is also known as Devaki Nandana or Yashoda Nandana, the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms, he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence, he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful, smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Shukadeva Goswami has composed this beautiful verse to console those who lament the fact that Lord Krishna did not continue to manifest his intimate pastimes down to the present time. Here, Sri Shukadeva reminds his listeners that the Lord is eternally present in this world, in his holy abode, his name, and the recitation of his glories. This idea is expressed by the words Jayati, he is victorious, which is in the present tense rather than the past. Srila Prabhupada explains this verse as follows in Krishna. Srila Shukadeva Goswami thus concludes his description of the super exalted position of Lord Krishna by glorifying him in the following way. O Lord Krishna, all glories unto you. You are present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Therefore, you are known as Janinivasa, one who lives in everyone's heart. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Radeshera Janatishtiti, the Supreme Lord in his Paramatma feature lives in everyone's heart. This does not mean, however, that Krishna has no separate existence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mayavadi philosophers accept the all-pervading feature of Parabrahman, but when Parabrahman, or the Supreme Lord, appears, they think that he appears under the control of material nature. Because Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Devaki, the Mayavadi philosophers accept Krishna to be an ordinary living entity who takes birth within this material world. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami warns them, Devaki Janmavada, which means that although Krishna is famous as the son of Devaki, actually he is the Supersoul or the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotees, however, take this word Devaki Janmavada in a different way. The devotees understand that actually Krishna was the son of Yashoda. Although Krishna first of all appeared as the son of Devaki, he immediately transferred himself to the lap of Mother Yashoda, and his childhood pastimes were blissfully enjoined by Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. This fact was also admitted by Vasudeva himself when he met Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda at Kurukshetra. He admitted that Krishna and Balaram were actually the sons of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Vasudeva and Devaki were only their official father and mother. Shukadeva Goswami then glorifies the Lord as one who is honored by the Yaduvara Parishat, the assembly house of the Yadu dynasty, and as the killer of different kinds of demons. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could have killed all the demons by employing his different material energies, but he wanted to kill them personally in order to give them salvation. There was no need of Krishna's coming to this material world to kill the demons. Simply by his willing, many hundreds of thousands of demons could have been killed without his personal endeavor. But actually, he descended for his pure devotees to play as a child with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and to give pleasure to the inhabitants of Dwarka. By killing the demons and by giving protection to the devotees, Lord Krishna established the real religious principle, which is simply love of God. By following the factual religious principle of love of God, even the living entities known as sthiracara were also delivered from all material contamination and were transferred to the spiritual kingdom. Sthira means trees and plants, which cannot move, and chara means the moving animals, specifically the cows. When Krishna was present, he delivered all the trees, monkeys, and other plants and animals who happened to see him and serve him, both in Vrindavan and Dwarka. Lord Krishna is especially glorified for his giving pleasure to the gopis and the queens of Dwarka. Shukadeva Goswami glorifies Lord Krishna for his enchanting smile, by which he enchanted not only the gopis of Vrindavan, but also the queens of Dwarka. The exact words used in this connection are Vardayan Kamadevam. In Vrindavan, as the boyfriend of many gopis, and in Dwarka, as the husband of many queens, Krishna increased their lusty desires to enjoy him, joy with him. For God realization or self-realization, one generally has to undergo severe austerities and penances for many, many thousands of years, and then it may be possible to realize God. But the gopis and the queens of Dwarka, simply by enhancing their lusty desires to enjoy Krishna as their boyfriend or husband, received the highest type of salvation. In this way, Srila Prabhupada wonderfully illuminates the meaning of this verse by Shukadeva Goswami, which summarizes Lord Krishna's pastimes. So what we've done this morning is extract several verses from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, following the Mangalacharna verse by Rupa Goswami, which declares Krishna to be the best of the best. Akila Rasamrita Murti. He destroys all suffering, surpasses all others. He bestows the greatest happiness. He's the source of all others, and he exists eternally with all excellences. Now we'll take a few reflections. What did you hear so far? Yes. Kanka. Mike, all the way to the back.
Two things. The Krishna reservoir of all pleasure says not to glance upon Govinda. If you want to remain in this material world, don't glance upon his form. I haven't read it in a long time, but it was the first brochure that I got from the Hare Krishna people in 1970. And after reading it, I thought, oh my gosh, I found the man I'm looking for, which was Srila Prabhupada, answering all my questions. Then the other one was in the prayer, Bhajahurai Mana, they say to meditate upon the form of Krishna, because by meditating on him, you'll become fearless. And so if we're fearless, we can also be very happy.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful. Okay?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the wonderful lecture. So the key takeaway from today's session is that Krishna makes himself appear in front of devotees and non-devotees as well in whatever form they desire him to appear. And I could extend this principle to Narsingha Avatar, like Hiranyakashipu. He set some conditions and he appeared and made himself appear to fulfill those conditions. So I'm just curious to know, can we extend this principle to other avataras such as Shukara, Kurma, Meenavatara? What were the reasons behind those forms and features in which Krishna made himself appear?
He appears by his own sweet will and in amazing ways. Varaha appeared from the nostril of Brahma when he had a managerial problem. He was sitting there meditating, how do I solve this? And then a boar came out of his nose, started flying around the universe, and everyone started glorifying. Well, it's a general rule that Krishna is reciprocates with his devotees in various ways. So the various manifestations of Krishna come from his reciprocation with his pure devotees. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. Actually, I wanted to touch upon that point only, which I... It's so nourishing to the heart, the Akhila Rasamrita Murti, and how Rupa Goswami corroborates it with a verse from the 43rd chapter, 17th verse, 10th canto, Malla Naam Asanir Nanam Naravaru, which he actually 10 rasas are there in the same verse, that how Krishna enters the arena and you have all five, in fact 12 rasas, all five primary rasas, all seven secondary rasas, same, like at a moment, different people are being able to reciprocate in a very different way. Who can do it? So it's so nourishing that Krishna is actually the to-go person. So that gives so much of hope. And a second point was that when we were discussing about qualities of Krishna, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the quality one is mentioning as enjoying, and Rupa Goswami gives a nice description of a person who is always happy, and even in trouble, he is very smilingly carrying out the course of actions. He is a person who is said to be enjoying, and it is said that how he was fighting the wrestlers, he was just, okay, let's have a fight, and even in that situation, and they were appreciating, wow, you're having really fun. So that was...
They said, we know, we've heard that you wrestle back in the Vraj with your friends. They used to wrestle with their friends. Now they're wrestling Chanur Mustika. Thank you very much. Nice points, yes.
Hare Krishna Bhaji, thank you so much for this wonderful lecture. And I think there were really too many, spotless pearls you went over, but a couple of things that I really liked is you touched upon the concept of the enjoyer and the servitor, right? It almost seems like we are so misaligned because we often forget that, our real position is to serve the Lord. Because if you look at it, right, we serve in one form or the other, right? You go to work, you're serving your boss. You're at house, you serve your wife or your children, right? But the important thing here is if you can realign and think that the real goal is to serve the Lord, right? I think that would be great. And the concepts you touched upon, right, the enjoyer and the servitor, right? It talks about the quality and the proportion of your service, right? I really like that part where the quality is transcendental, which is really like it's a testament, right, to the earlier purpose you read. And then it also talks about the service, is eulogized in the Bhagavatams, right? It talks about many devotees who served, and they talk about those stories. So it really gives an affirmation that this is a process that works. So I like that.
So, in practical terms, there are still a lot of distractions. Krishna is all of these things we're describing, but still, the acharyas, in describing the plight of someone who's on the path of bhakti, but then can't think of Krishna. Even Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Nrisingadev says that you are the perfection of one's vision and so forth. But then he says, my mind is always sinful. It's always lusty. It's always thinking how to make more and more money. Just wants to hear mundane music. Wants to hear Bollywood songs. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So this is a good place to mention that we have to, on a day-to-day basis, dig in to the process. This gives us a scope of understanding our ultimate goal, but we have to develop very powerful, positive habits on a daily basis. I mentioned previously a very practical thing, which is never greet the dawn without a map. Did anybody try that? Yeah. How'd it work out for you?
Failed miserably. But I remembered it all day.
Okay.
That map is...
Well, this is not a complete failure then. Okay, you had an experience?
I'm following that don't leave the house without the map every day, and it's really good that it makes me more organized.
Okay. One suggestion is don't be afraid to try this because it seems daunting. You think, well, I already have my plan. I do whatever I do. But you'll find if you actually, even if you do what you do every day, write it down anyhow, and be a little conscious of it, you'll find different ways that you can refine it. And just the fact that you take time to write it down, and actually I would even post it in a place where you most likely stare, like in your screen of your computer. You know, you can use post-its or whatever, but if I guarantee you, if you take the time to write down your schedule every day, not just say, this is always my schedule, but redo it, that it'll give you a special focus and power. And we need these kinds of things to get some traction on the path of bhakti. So one thing that the Goswamis did, according to Srinivasacharya, is they counted everything. Count everything. And there's a lot of ways that you can count nowadays. Like, I have on my phone, and I don't get any money from this, so I'm not making a shameless plug.
We really wanted to know about that app.
Yeah, let me tell you about this app. It's one of my favorite apps. And in this app, it's called Habit List. Habit List is nice. You can list all the things that you want to develop as a daily habit. And then you can say, once a day, every 2 days, every 2 to 3 days, every week or something like that. And you can list them all down. And then it becomes sort of methodical, that once you finish that particular activity today, you just click it in, and then you can get on a roll. How many days in a row did you do this thing? And if you miss it one day, then you get a minus sign, and you sort of go backwards a little bit. But Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibhi, count it. Count it. So start with things that you can do every day and get some traction, like in chanting. There are ways to refine your chanting. One way to refine your daily chanting is to turn off everything. Try this, because you may think, oh, I'm not going to look at it, but that's different than turning it off. It's almost like death, right? Turn it off. Turn off everything that has a connection to the outside world. Off switch, off switch, off switch. Turn it all off, and all of a sudden, your mind goes, well, what do I do now? It's like, well, try chanting or reading a book. How about that? And so then you can have full time to do it. And another thing is to chant all your rounds in a row. Don't stop for anything. Make a vow that I won't talk to anybody. And you can tell everybody in your family, in your life, say, now I'm chanting my rounds. I'm on, everything's off, so you won't be able to reach me. And please don't come and talk to me and tell me anything, because I have this vow to finish all my rounds all in a row. Now, because of work schedule or something, you may not be able to do that every day. But when you can, try this. And you can try many things like this, that even in one day, you can change the pitch of your devotional practice, even in one day. So if you greet the dawn with a map and you say, I'd like to try this today, and you make an intention for the day, here's my sankalpa, here's what I'm going to do. And one of the things is, like, I have a lot of different kind of habits that I'm trying to develop, and I list them all down here, and then one of my goals on my map might be to have a perfect bracket. That means I hit all of them in one day. And that means get out of my way, because I'm in a hurry now. I don't have time here and there to look at different things, because I got to hit my bracket. It becomes actually an interesting game. And the mind kind of goes along with it and goes like, oh, we're playing a game now? I can play along with that. I can play along with that. It's kind of fun. And in the course of it, tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam pati shrotavya kirtitavyasche deyas deya pujasta nitya. Meditate, hear about, remember. And we have all the facility to do that if you just count it off and make sure that you hit all the points. Yes, a couple more and we're done. Kanka?
Thank you, Maharaj. This class has been so wonderful. And one of the things that is so inspiring is to have all the association of all of you. It's so wonderful. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that when you see your boss, remember Krishna's in his heart. We talked about that in one of the purports, how Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. And so that's what I try to do. I try to remind myself wait a minute, because we have a few people where I live that are really hard to deal with. But then I try to remind myself, oh yeah, Krishna's in their heart. I have to be really careful how I deal with them. So those two things, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, one from the internet.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is from Vaikunth Nayak Prabhu.
Vaikunth Nayak.
Dandavats Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And he has a question. From Srimad Bhagavatam 1939, we read the below. The pastimes of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the prison house of Kamsa, up to the morsel Leela at the end, all move one after another in all the universes, just as the clock hand moves from one point to another. And in such pastimes, his associates like the Pandavas and Bhishma are constant, eternal companions. I can understand that Krishna was simultaneously present in different universes enacting different pastimes, but how come the devotees are also present simultaneously?
Well, there's a couple answers. One is that's their service. Some devotees are with Krishna all the time. You keep in mind that wherever Krishna is, his dham is manifested also. So some devotees have that eternal service to be with Krishna as he's traveling through the material universes. So the other answer is that living entities, just like Krishna, can expand themselves. So you'll find that devotees can be simultaneously in two places. Sometimes devotees are in Navadvipa and in Vraj at the same time. And they can also, as you'll find in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, oftentimes devotees are in two places in Krishna's pastimes at the same time. Okay. Yes, Manjula Kanta.
Maharaj, my daughter swims. So on an annual, like daily basis, they do laps. They go up and down the pool 20 times. And once in a while, they do a deep dive. And they go down, they touch the floor, and they come back. For us, your lectures are always our laps. We're reminded we do our rounds, we do, you know, stay focused. But once in a while, we get a deep dive. Today's one of those deep dives. You know, we get to touch the floor, and I don't know how much stays with me when I look at the depth with which you go into the Shastra and you understand the Shastra and you try to give it to us. I take home the taste. I take home the taste. And I pray that over the years, by trying to go with you down to touch the floor, I will remember the taste and try to do it myself. It's such a pleasure, these moments in the years when you have the time to stop and, you know, just come and say, come, dive with me. And it's so, so wonderful. These are wonderful days. And I wanted to share that in the beginning when you started, you talked about how much that Krishna's always with us. It's a wonderful takeaway for me that I see him everywhere. He's always interacting with all of us. And we can only see him if we have developed this appreciative capacity. So it was very sweet that we can do that, and over time we will see him. It was very nice for me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it is, I thinking back to our time together during Gaur Purnima, when we had all day, or as long before they kicked us out to clean the room. But and there's ways in which there's times during every day when we have to dive deep. I mean, every day we should dive deep. The time during every day, ideally, is the Brahma Muhurta. If you can beat sleep by going to bed early and getting a really good set of alarm clocks and setting your attention ahead of time, getting your room clean the night before, setting up everything so that you have some intention as soon as you're waking up to go into, you actually have some impetus you're moving in. So the mode of ignorance doesn't grab hold and just say, nothing's okay. But at least be in the mode of passion and say, I got to check off my list. And during the month, there's a time to dive deep, ideally Ekadashi, if you can take that, but sometimes it falls on work weeks and things like that. So if there's some time during the month, then you can plan to go deeply. Take extra time, extra careful
chanting and go deeply within the process. And during the year, there's Kartik. If you can plan ahead by year and say during Kartik, whether you're here or whether you're in the Dham, then take the time to go deep at that time. Tell everyone that's when I shut off. I go into this deep mode. Gambhira, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the end of his life, he went into the Gambhira, just a little teeny room, and it was just intensely hearing and chanting. And during your life, there's a time near the, typically in the Varnashram system, near the end of your life, you get the opportunity to shut everything else off and just go deeply within the process of hearing and chanting. So all these kind of deep dives are lined up for us, and there's also no prohibition for diving deep whenever you feel like it, too. You can become a professional diver and set up a system so that you can dive deep. Even in a few moments, if you're getting a ride somewhere and somebody picks you up in the car, you have a choice. Do we sit here and talk about the weather, or can I read a purport and can we dive deep within it? And the more we learn to do that and learn to not only swim but also, you know, used to going under the water a little bit further, the more we prepare ourselves for this great journey that we're trying to make going back home, back to Godhead. So I don't understand the Shastra very much, but I do know that there's a combustion when we all come together to hear and chant about Krishna. It works every time. That if we just take shelter of the Shastra, take shelter of what the Acharyas have given us, and try to take it as much as possible on faith, that we'll be directed and we'll be taken back home, back to Godhead by the power of that sound vibration. So we thank everyone who joined us online this morning, from all over different parts of the world, and all of the devotees here who drove all the way here in a mechanical device, and had to find a place to put it, and then came here and got all dressed up and everything just to come here in the studio audience. To be part of the studio audience just to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vancha kalpadurvascha kripasanabhevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha gopremanande. And now we're going to Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.